Moving on now to presidential politics. A year ago, Mitt Romney was asked if he'd consider another run at the White House. He told the New York Times, no, no, no. Then a bunch more no's, 11 times no, the paper reported. And later that month, he explained why.
This is a time for Chris Christie, Mike Huckabee, Jeb Bush, Mike Pence, John Kasich, a long list, Marco Rubio. There are a lot of folks that should have the chance to be our nominee, and I'm going to support the one who gets the prize.
But maybe, what a difference a year makes. Now Mitt Romney has been telling people recently in private meetings that he might jump into the race for the White House in 2016. Tomorrow on the aircraft carrier USS Midway in San Diego before the Republican National Committee, Romney will give his first public comments since word of those private meetings surfaced. So how would another Romney run play in New Hampshire, the country's first primary state and a critical test for White House aspirants? Joining me now to talk more about that, about the Romney run in the Granite State, is James Pindle. He's a political reporter for the Boston Globe and an analyst at WMUR-TV in New Hampshire. He joins us today from Washington. James Pindle, good to have you.
Oh, thanks for having me.
Also with us is Ken Rudin. He's a political analyst and host of the Ken Rudin Political Junkie podcast. Ken, always good to have you.
Thank you, Anthony.
So, James, let me start with you. You've been talking to Romney backers about this. First of all, how likely is it, in your view, from what you can understand, that he will run?
I don't know. I mean, we have two things going on here, right? We have the perception that Romney and his close friends and family are trying to create. And the perception is he is so serious about getting in, some advisors say he's flat out in this race. And then there's the reality. And look, I can't read minds. I'm pretty good as a reporter, but the one thing I can't do is read someone's mind, okay? And there's a lot of reasons that he's just pulling people's legs here. And I can't get my head around if that's what's really going on or if he's just really trying to, if he's really serious about running.
Yeah. Ken, what do you think? I know you're not a mind reader either, but you must have a gut feeling.
I knew you were going to say that. I knew you were going to ask me that question. Well, look, you know, I mean, for, as far as him saying no, 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 no all this time, remember in 2006 and 2007, Barack Obama was saying no, 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 no until he said yes. But I believe, I agree with James. I don't think that he's running. I'm not exactly sure why he's doing it. Certainly he doesn't, he's probably was startled, as many Republicans were, by the early indications that Jeb Bush is seriously going to get into this thing. And I think it threw a lot of Republicans by, took a lot of Republicans by surprise. But look at what Mitt Romney did in 2012, a race where many Republicans thought they had it. They had double-digit unemployment. They had basically a feeling that America was on the wrong track, you know, those right track, wrong track questions. And for all his campaigning, I mean, you know, he talked about the 47%. That was embarrassing. He talked about Hispanics self-deporting, which was unbelievably embarrassing. There was always a new front runner of the day, be it Rick Perry or Herman Cain. Herman Cain was the front runner because there's obviously a distrust, dissatisfaction, and unease in the Republican Party with Mitt Romney. Sure, we love him now. We love him now. He did a great job during the midterm campaign elections, campaigning for Republicans around the country. But as a presidential candidate, all the baggage and the bad stuff we remember from 2012, I think, doesn't go away.
And James, coming back to New Hampshire, I mean, all the stuff that Ken talked about would probably resonate poorly for Romney. On the other hand, he would have kind of a running start in New Hampshire, right? I mean, he still owns property there. He's still got the political backing, the fundraisers, the folks who might feel inclined to support him or not.
And he's the defending champion.
Right.
I mean, what's going to be fascinating about the New Hampshire primary this time is that you could have, you know, someone like Mitt Romney who has to win New Hampshire or they're done. Jeb Bush who has to win New Hampshire or he's done. Right. Chris Christie, who has to win New Hampshire or he's done. And I don't even know what you do with a Rand Paul in that situation. So this is going to be tougher and higher stakes for Mitt Romney than it was in 2012 when he was the front runner in polls a year out and never relinquished the lead in New Hampshire until he had a successful New Hampshire primary win. It's going to be tougher. But if you want to go through the line, we're in this 13-month period we call the invisible primary, right? There's no votes. But the only way you know who's winning or who's losing is on the basis of three categories. And one is polling, and Mitt Romney is doing very well in polling. Number two is money. And obviously, if he wasn't a hit with donors, we wouldn't be having this conversation. He's cultivated those relationships and continues to. And third is organization. And that's where he has this biggest advantage. He still text messages with New Hampshire state senators. He obviously hit the campaign trail hard in 2014. He has those built-in advantages that makes him the front runner of the field should he get in.
Now, it's interesting. You mentioned Jeb Bush, and Ken, let me come back to you for this. Romney has reportedly said that he'd run to the right of Jeb Bush. This seems strange to me that the former moderate Republican governor of Massachusetts could do that against the former, am I wrong to say, much more conservative governor of Florida.
Well, Jeb Bush was a conservative as a two-term governor of Florida. But at the same time, he also has views on education standards, like with Common Core and immigration. That seems to be anathema to many Republicans. But again, George W. Bush was a clear frontrunner for the nomination in 2000. He got clobbered by John McCain in New Hampshire and yet still won the primary, still won the nomination. So you could still lose New Hampshire and get the nomination. And think of Mitt Romney in 2012, the clear frontrunner. Yes, he won New Hampshire, but he lost Iowa. He lost South Carolina to Newt Gingrich. So, I mean, you could talk about all the inherent advantages that Mitt Romney has, and he does have a clear fundraising apparatus that's still, from 2012. But I really think that his time has come, and his time has come twice already. He ran in 2008 and lost. 2012 is lost. Three times is not the charm.
Yesterday, the Wall Street Journal had a fairly tough editorial called Romney Recycled. The editors wrote, Republicans are likely to have a far better field in 2016, so voters won't lack for plausible candidates. It's hard to see what advantages Mr. Romney brings that many first-time candidates who have succeeded as governors do not. James Pindle, that kind of writing, that kind of thinking from some Republicans and some conservatives, that's not going to bode well for Mitt Romney.
It's not. The question is, how much does that chattering class matter? And right now, it probably matters a lot. The game is not, as much as I hate to say it, the game right now is not in Iowa and in New Hampshire or South Carolina. It's among among donors. It's among bundlers, among the biggest political donors in the country. That's where the game is. That's where the arguments are right now. And so for that, yes, a Wall Street Journal biting editorial like that is not helpful at all. Remember, this is costing Mitt Romney nothing. He's had a week of everyone going crazy, of freezing donors, having an impact. He's having an impact. And all he's going to do is give his first remarks, as you mentioned, tomorrow in San Diego. Look, among the theories of why he's not going to run is that this has been about Jeb Bush from day one. Remember, Jeb Bush is running around the country saying that, my goodness, he won't be as bad as Mitt Romney was as a candidate for president. And then it just so happens that last Friday, when the news came out, in the morning, Jeb Bush puts out this reported that Jeb Bush has this really high fundraising benchmark, and then a few hours later, Mitt Romney's trying to freeze donors. I mean, there could be something else going on between those two, but it's fascinating to watch.
Ken, final question to you. We're going to hear from Mitt Romney tomorrow. What's the conversation going to be after that? In other words, you said you were a mind reader at the beginning of this segment. What are we going to be talking about tomorrow after Romney talks?
Well, again, I think it could be a tease. I mean, we still have a long way to go, but actually it's actually only just over a year to go before Iowa and New Hampshire. So it's not that much more on the schedule. But look, Romney does have a little resentment with Jeb Bush. Jeb Bush has been saying from the beginning that Romney ran a terrible campaign in 2012, that he dissed Latinos, and that's not the way for the Republican Party to go. It could be personal. Again, my gut tells me that he's going to say some nice things, but you're not going to hear a candidacy declaration at all.
All right. Ken Rudin, political analyst and host of the Ken Rudin Political Junkie Podcast.
I knew you were going to say that.
Ken, thanks. Always a pleasure.
Thanks, Anthony.
And James Pindle, reporter for the Boston Globe and a political analyst for WMUR-TV in Manchester, New Hampshire. James, thanks. Always a pleasure.
Thank you.
Stay with us. Coming up, a new website that brings together a community of people whose parents died of AIDS. I'm Lisa Mullins.
And I'm Anthony Brooks. This is Radio Boston.